I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. It's a blessing this morning I can greet you in that name. It's a blessing that I can be in the house of His children. Alaska is kind of a new experience for me. There's a lot of interesting and wonderful things that I have seen since I'm here. But I believe I can say this morning, the best experience I've had in Alaska is what I've experienced this morning. It's been a blessing to be here with you, brothers and sisters. That always warms my heart. I don't know, especially when you're traveling, you know, you get, life is a little bit, I don't know what, not quite like it is when you're at home. And then there's a Sunday morning worship service. I've just been so blessed, and I thank you for ministering to the needs of my heart this morning. I trust we can be blessed as we worship God further together. I appreciate the spirit of worship here. Don't know all of you. I know some of you. Some of you I go back several years to Deer Lodge. There's others I go way back to Pulaski, Tennessee. And just a real blessing to be here, and trust we can renew some acquaintances. But for now, we want to continue looking into the Word of God. I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 10 this morning. The context here is when Saul was called to be a king. The children of Israel had, they thought they need a king. God wasn't necessarily agreed with the idea, but it was, I guess we could say, in His permissive will. And we have Saul being called here. We have a little bit different Saul that we know the story of Saul and what he did and how he acted later on. But we have a little bit of a different Saul here in our verse this morning. They wanted to establish the kingdom and recognize him as king. And they couldn't find him. They had to fetch him. He was hidden among the stuff, possibly sensing the weight of his call. And I don't know what all was going through his mind, but he just wasn't ready to face the people. But anyhow, they went ahead and they recognized him, and then he went back home. And where I want to focus this morning is in verse 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 10. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Saul had the blessing here of going home and the blessing of a support group. A band of men that was committed to work with him and help him accomplish his calling. And it was a band of men whose hearts God had touched. You know, that living God in heaven igniting a fire within these men's hearts, to where they were willing to forsake their pursuits and follow this man for the sake of a higher call. That was the result of a touch of God in their hearts. That's our message for the day, the touch of God. You know, Christ as well has a work to accomplish on this earth. Christ needs men and women in His kingdom. He has a kingdom to build, and His work is, yea, even much greater than what Saul's was in that time. And I ask the question this morning, where is His band of men? Men and women that are willing to rise up to the call. Where is His support group? I believe this morning it is you and I. We have the opportunity. We have the calling. We have the responsibility. We could maybe say the duty, but let's look beyond that. Let's call it our privilege. Our privilege that we can be a band of men and women involved in the work of building His kingdom. The greatest work on earth, the kingdom of heaven. The highest calling that there could be. Building the kingdom of heaven. We have a great responsibility, a great privilege, a great opportunity. I like to consider this morning as we think of the touch of God in the context of the touch of Jesus. I think there's some practicals we can look at in the touch of Jesus while He was walking on earth. how he touched men and women in a physical way. I like to draw some parallels for us this morning in the work that we're called to. As we look at the touch of a hand, it is something that is very personal. There's a familiarity. There's a friendship there. Sometimes it's concern. But many times it is a sign or a gesture, we could say, if I care. Those of us that are married men know that feeling from our wife, how we appreciate that, especially at times when we're kind of down in the dumps. And, well, you know, they cheer us up. And part of that cheering up is that touch on our shoulder. It's a blessing. And I trust our children to experience that as well. We as parents, helping them and encouraging them in their journey. I believe so, the touch of God in our life is something that's very personal. It would be a blessing if we could experience it in a physical way. That's probably still to come. But God showing us His love, His care, His provision, God touching our lives and calling us to slow down, to allow Him to draw us, to direct us, to enable us, to empower us, and to give us what we need to get our job done. We love to feel the touch of God, the touch of a human when we're in need. But like I said, it'd be wonderful if we could feel it in a physical way from God. But you know, we can quiet our hearts before God in such a way that we can sense His touch in our life. This morning, as I think of the touch of God, I wanted to talk just a little bit to the children. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. To you children this morning, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it, if Jesus would be here in person and you could feel His touch. Jesus did that back in the time when He walked on earth. I'd like for you to notice this in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Brother, could somebody bring me some water? All right, here in Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God, even as a child, he shall not enter therein. Then notice, children, what it says in verse 16. And He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them. You know, the disciples here, they thought Jesus had a lot of important things to do. Here come these mamas with these little children, and they said, No, just, you know, Jesus has got too many other things to do. Jesus really doesn't have time for you. Jesus said, No. He said, You're wrong. He said, Allow the children to come to me. You know, that was the heart of Jesus back then, and that is still the heart of Jesus today. I want you children to know this morning that God loves you. God cares for you. And if Jesus were here this morning, He would be glad to take you up in His arms. Thank you, brother. He would be glad to hold you and to talk to you and to bless you. You could probably crawl in His lap. You could probably ask Him questions. And he'd be glad to do that for you. Well, Jesus is not here in person. We believe He's here in spirit. He can see us. He sees all you children. And He still loves you children like He did, same as He did back then. Now, you can still come to Jesus. I'm sure your daddy and mama have taught you to pray. So that is one way you can come to Jesus. You are probably taught to pray before you go to bed. And you children can come to Jesus anytime during the day. If you have any problem, you can come and you can pray to Him. And I believe God likes to hear the prayers of children. You don't have to be 10 or 12. You can be 4 or you can be 6, whatever your age is, and God will love to hear you. This morning, we sang some wonderful hymns. Appreciate the hymns, brother. And I believe God loves it when not only the big people sing, but even you children sing. And I expect the one song we sang this morning, all you children probably know it, Jesus Loves Me. And I believe God just loves it. Jesus just loves it when he hears little children singing to him. Not only the big people, but the little people. Jesus is happy when you sing, when you pray. Jesus is happy to see you in church this morning. You know, there's some churches, this is hard for me to imagine, there's some churches when they go to church, just the big people go to church, the children stay home. I don't really know why they do it that way, but I would be kind of sad this morning if I'd come to this church and all the parents would have left their children at home. I see different ones of you looking at me, and I'm so glad to see you. And I'm sure God is glad to see you in church. So that's another thing you can do that makes God happy. When dad and mom want to go to church, that you're happy and cheerful, and you want to go to church. Don't come to church just because you have to, but because you want to. Jesus is happy when you learn your memory verse and when you can say your memory verse. So do that as well. When daddy and mama teach you the memory verse, or when you read it, those of you that are older that can read, learn your memory verse. Jesus is happy when you obey daddy and mama. You know, like I said, we can't see God, we can't see Jesus, but God has given many of you a daddy and mama. Be glad for your daddy and your mama. They teach you about God's ways. And it makes Jesus very happy when you obey your daddy and mama. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus watches over you. So thank him for all that he does for you. Like I said, Jesus loved children back here in what we read here in Mark, and he still does today. Now for us older ones, we need to become like little children. All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. I'd like to look at a few examples of Jesus' literal touch in people's lives and what it did for them. It's always interesting when you read the Sermon on the Mount, when Christ outlined how we should live. In chapter 8, he goes right into it in showing us how to live. Interest in other people's lives and ministry. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And, behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We have the disadvantage today of not knowing, most of us don't know a whole lot about leprosy and how awful this disease was. But I understand it was a terrible disease that affected your skin and even your flesh, you know, it whitening and sloughing off people, you were outcasts, and people didn't want anything to do with you. You wouldn't think about touching a person like that back in Bible times. And here we have this man that comes to Jesus, and he is pleading for help. Just like the blind man, Bartimaeus, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus not only speaks, but Jesus touches him. This man that most people would have cringed to touch, to have contact with. Jesus touches this man in wonder of wonders. This man that was ravaged and disfigured by this disease was now perfectly whole. I imagine exactly like the Bible states about Naaman. I expect that's the way this man looked after Jesus got through with him. The touch of Jesus working a wonder in this man's physical body. And I believe, of course, today we know the application in our life. As we think of sin and the ravages of sin, how it disfigures us, and how there's no hope. sinners without hope. And yet here we have Jesus Christ, the one that has come to earth, the one that has suffered and died and poured out his life as an offering for this awful disease, this problem. Jesus this morning is desiring to cleanse every sinner from his sin, from the sin. This leprosy is a type of sin in a man's life. His death atones. His death atones for the sin of man, and his resurrection gives power over sin. Oh, this morning, if you're here this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get right with God. Today is the best day. If you have a sin problem this morning, Jesus is here to touch you and to heal you and to give you power. May we cry out, whether we're sinner or saint, whatever our need and problem is, may we believe that Jesus this morning is offering us hope and cleansing and power for our life and for our problem. That song, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan." We need to sing that song. Where is it? I think it's here in the black books. "Years I spent in vanity and pride." 332. I thought of that song as I thought of Jesus Christ and his atoning work for us on the cross. You know, unworthy that we are. Let's just sing the first and last verse. 332. "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on death of glory. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so bound liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Multiply to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary." Thank you for that. Wonderful. Calvary. Christ willing to come to die to touch men's lives, including you and I. Today we can be free. If you're here this morning, if you're not free, today is the day of salvation. Have you experienced it? Do you know what it is to be free and to have peace and joy with God? All right, second point, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 to 30. Some more blind men. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it." Two blind men desiring sight. And Jesus once more, literally, touched them. And he healed them. Can you imagine not being able to see, and all of a sudden, the brilliance, the vividness, you know, the wonder of seeing probably Jesus first of all. God wants to touch you this morning. He wants to touch your spiritual eyesight. Hand in hand with that, I'd like for you to consider Mark chapter 7, verse 31-35. This speaks about our hearing and our telling, our talking. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up into heaven, he sighed and said, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. A lot of us like to talk, maybe some of us too much. How would that be to not be able to talk? Worse yet, not be able to hear. But here we have a man that, again, Jesus touched him in a physical way. His hearing and his speech were restored. This morning I'd like to spiritualize this as we think of our eyesight, our seeing, and our tongue. We need God to touch our eyes, to touch our ears, to touch our tongue. In order to be his children and to accomplish the work on earth he's called us to. Of course, most of all, God needs to touch our heart, like we read in our text. But I believe God also wants to touch our being as we go through this world, even in a physical sense. You know, there's much that's out there to catch our eyes. There's much out there that we can hear. There are a lot of voices that are clamoring for our attention. And may I say this morning, I trust some of us older ones have experienced this, sometimes a little harder for the young people, but even for the older ones, that the physical stuff that you see and that you hear can never really satisfy. I had to think of a young man that walked away from it all, and he was done with it. Grew up in a Christian home, and went out in the world, and he wanted this, what he thought was good music, but his testimony was that, you know, he had these earbuds on, and this stuff was just thumping through his ears, but it didn't really satisfy, and there was this conviction of, he said that, you know, God speaking to him, it couldn't drown it out. He was never really satisfied until he came back to Jesus Christ. Came back, was converted, and married, has a family now. Fine Christian man. But that's the truth of the matter. That stuff does not satisfy. God has something that much greater that satisfies. God wants us to see and hear and understand with our hearts. Grasp that which really satisfies. You know, there's much out there that appeals to the physical and the soulish part of man, our emotions. But God is after our spirit. And until our spirit is satisfied and settled, there is no true satisfaction in life. And Jesus can do that this morning. He wants to touch our lives and settle us within. He wants to open our eyes so that we can see His glory, His power, His wisdom. You know, God's wonders. I mean, you open your eyes in a physical way, and there's much out there that will remind you of God and can minister to your spirit. Sometimes the things we see every day become kind of commonplace. You don't think about it. But I thought about it the other day. We flew into Anchorage, and I saw this muskox there, this stuffed muskox. I just looked at that muskox, and it just reminded me of God. God creating this animal in a way that this animal can exist in this harsh environment. And I just stood there and I just looked. I just had to think of God.
And the other day, too, we saw, a fake moose and her calf. I think that was yesterday we saw that. And the calf they're trying to nurse. This reminded me of my cows and calves at home. But, you know, a little bit different animal. And yet, you know, just the wonder of that. I mean, I'm sure it's all commonplace for y'all. But that was kind of new, this different animal. And just thinking of how God had created it. And the different things we've been seeing. But, you know, as I think of what God creates, you know, here in Alaska, to me, that's not the greatest thing that I've seen. I believe this morning, one of the greatest wonders that I've seen is men and women that are sitting right here that are committed to the cause of Christ. A testimony to the changing power of God. That is a much bigger miracle yet than even the moose and the muskox. God bless you for that. That blesses my heart. The psalmist, I believe, said this way, "Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things out of thy law." May our spiritual eyes be open in mornings like this and day by day as we meet with God, that our eyes can be open and that we can see His wonders and it can minister to our inner being. I believe we need to plead His touch upon our eyes and upon our heart that we can understand spiritual truth. The scriptures tell us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It also tells us that we need to have ears to hear. Well, that means shut out the distractions and tune in our hearts to where we can hear God, to where we, with our physical eyes, read the Word of God. With our ears, we hear God, and we're able to hear Him. The Scriptures tell us that we have been given all that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. How we need that in our life. The last week or two, I've been impressed by that. We went through that in our family devotions in 2 Peter. The knowledge of God. What God has there available for us. I believe like a deep mine that we can mine, or a deep well of water that we can draw from. Do we have that true knowledge of God to be able to live and order our lives in His will? It's there for us. It's there for the taking. And then these men, or this man here, he spoke. The string of his tongue was loosed. How many of us are spiritually tongue-tied? I'm too many times. Brother said this morning, do we know our need? I admit that's a need I have. Why is it that sometimes we find it so hard to talk for our Lord? Why is it that we're afraid to speak? Why is it that we're uninspired? Or worse yet, maybe we don't have a message because there's some bondage in our heart that is hindering the message. In Acts chapter 2, it tells us that when men were filled with the Holy Ghost, the testimony of the audience was that we do hear them speak in tongues the wonderful works of God. We might think this morning that's only a Pentecost phenomenon, but I believe as the Spirit of God fills our hearts and lives, and as we're cleansed from unrighteousness, as we're cleansed from anything that would hinder our life, and if the true joy of the Lord is within our heart, it is going to bubble over. We cannot but speak those things which we've heard. God help us in this, that the string of our tongue might be loosed. The audience in the day of Pentecost deserved no less than to hear the testimony of the wonderful works of God. The audience today deserves no less. The people in Jesus' time were astonished beyond measure. Jesus said, we're going to do greater works. Where is the astonishment today? Too many times it's not there because we're tongue-tied. We can talk about a lot of things and about a lot of stuff, but somehow when it comes to testifying, we're mighty silent. Could it be that we're lacking the touch of God? Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand. The fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. This woman was able to minister. I'm glad you got some people here that are willing to minister. We've experienced it in a real way already since we're here. Lord bless you all for that. But now here, this woman here had a fever. And this fever hindered her ministering. You know the saying, we're saved to serve, we're saved to minister. In fact, you know, a lot of times we say it takes the blood of Jesus to save us, and that's true. But it seems like the Bible has a little more than that. When it comes to the day of judgment, it seems like ministry kind of figures in the equation. If you didn't minister, there's no opening there for you. Well, here this woman was unable to minister because she had a fever. Could it be that Christians today many times are unable to minister because they have a fever? And these fevers could be different things. Had to think of a few. One that is common for us, we're overcome by temptation. We're defeated. It affects our ability to minister. Another real bad one is we get hurt and we nurse this bitterness within our heart. And it really hinders us from ministering. There's a lot of broken relationships out there as well among God's people. People that feel betrayed, people that feel let down, unable to minister. Sometimes in Christians, there's too much pride, a little bit too much of an obnoxious spirit. One test is if you find it hard to say, I'm sorry. If you're such a good Christian, you hardly ever have to say, I'm sorry. I probably question your Christianity. It's hard for us sometimes to do to say, I'm sorry. But I believe that's a fever that can hinder our ministry. Some of us are a little too lazy. We don't want our comfort zones to be, don't want to be moved out of our comfort zones. That's a fever. Another one is a rebellion. Of course, there's nicer words for it today, but this thing of not wanting to give up, not wanting to submit, not wanting to bring myself under the authority of another person. Somehow, you know, we usually are center of the road. We've got things figured out. Somehow we have the monopoly on the way. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, not me. Anyhow, these things can, and the list could go on, but it hinders us and it puts us on the bed of languishing, which renders us powerless and there's no service there. Question is, do you have a spiritual fever this morning? And maybe the true test is, do your own heart searching, but ask your children or your pastor or your brother. Maybe he could give you a more accurate rendering on that one. But the thought here is, Jesus didn't let this woman on this bed of languishing. Jesus saw her laid sick of a fever, and he touched her and restored her. I'm so thankful this morning. When Christians have needs, when Christians have problems, the touch of Jesus is there to restore us, to minister to us, to heal us, to once more give us that sweet indwelling of His Holy Spirit to sanctify us and to fill us with His love, with His patience, with His forbearance. That's more than four bears in Alaska. It's something much greater. Forbearance with each other. Compassion. You know, when God, that work of God is done in our heart, there will be a passion and a desire to live for Him, to tell. But so much of life is a choice. God has it there available for us, but it comes back to a choice on our part. It comes back to surrender on our part. Too many times we're like the monkey. How does that story go? Something like this. That in the wilds, when they want to catch a monkey, what do they have? I think it's this coconut shell, and they'll put a pebble or some trinket in there. The monkey reaches into the shell and gets a hold of that trinket, and he can't get his hand back out because the hole is too small. A man comes up and he tries to get away, but he gets captured because he will not let go of the trinket. Monkey put into bondage because of the trinket. ask the question this morning, what trinket are you holding on to? What are you holding on to in your life that brings bondage in your life to where God cannot use you as He would like to? You cannot be a vessel used in His service because, you know, this thing that happened way back then, I'm going to hang on to it. This lust in my life, I'm going to hang on to it. This problem with anger, I'm going to hang on to it. This anger against my dad and mom, I'm going to hang on to it. This anger against that person way back, trinkets, trinkets. We sacrifice the kingdom of heaven for trinkets. Poor monkey, but poor us. Jesus wants to set us free, but it's a choice you and I need to make. He's got the power, but again, it comes down to a choice that you and I have to make. We tell the sinners that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation for all struggling Christians as well. The touch of Jesus restores us to where we can minister. And minister we must if we are going to enter the pearly gates. I'm going to close with this thought. When the disciples met Jesus, Jesus came walking in the water. They were in the boat. And Peter essayed to walk out on the water. Did good for a while. But he was engulfed and he was overwhelmed by the waves. And I believe Jesus, if I remember the story right, Peter says, "Master, I perish." And Jesus reached out his hand and saved Peter. You know, maybe in life, sometimes we're engulfed. We're overwhelmed. But the Master is there waiting for us to call for His help, to reach out our hand. And when Jesus' hand reaches out, when His touch can save us, His touch can empower us, you know, the end result's going to be a band of men and women that are able to be used for the kingdom of heaven. It's my desire for each one of you here this morning. Let's kneel in prayer. God in heaven.